He's pretty well set on it by all accounts.
Does roll off the tongue quite nicely, I'll give you.
You sound surprised.
Well, no, not surprised exactly.
What is it then?
Well, it's just this rescue mission. It kind of needs to go to prayer.
Well, again, he's not some sort of wannabe player, is he? No.
Good point.
He knows what he's doing.
Right again.
So stop worrying.
I know. It's just, I want us to make sure we do everything we can to help.
Well, would you listen to yourself?
What?
Well, I like your enthusiasm, but I think you've got it covered. This isn't just some sort of last minute, 11th hour, will it really work, hope for the best, no one really knows initiative. This has been in the works for well, since, you know.
I do?
Yeah, you know. When? When it all went...
Oh, when it all went wrong! Yes, it has only been downhill since then, hasn't
well,
it?
Well, exactly, but he's sorting it, or at least giving them the chance to. Well... They're not going to be able to sort it.
They couldn't sort, they couldn't sort much by what happened.
My point, exactly. But he can, and he's going to.
Are you sure he's kind of going with this Emmanuel thing?
For the 100th time, yes. Didn't you get the memo?
Memo?
With its meaning.
Oh! You know, you really shouldn't worry about it. He's got this covered.
I'm very familiar about looking about those two angels, isn't there? The earlier passage that we read from, that Francis read from, said, "Look, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel," which means God with us. And that's what I want us just to think about for a few moments this evening. And first, I want you to think about three scenarios. They might be quite familiar. You know, maybe one or two will resonate as you lead up to Christmas. So, first, I want you to consider a relationship with someone in your family you find it difficult to get along with, okay? And I'm sure everyone, some people are starting to have some knowing looks and smiles and eyebrows raised. So the purpose of this, we're gonna pick a father. So imagine your father, you've got a difficult relationship, and you're thinking, okay, I'm going to get him something really great for Christmas. I'm going to get a really excellent gift. And so you go out to search for this gift. You spend ages looking for it, and you think this is going to really help things along. And the longer you look, the more frustrated you get, because you just can't find the right thing. And it almost seems frustratingly to represent something of the difficulties you have in your relationship. And so you end up spending far too much money, probably, on something that you don't think is going to really fit the bill. Christmas Day comes around, you hand this present over to your father, and he unwraps it. And you can just see that whilst he's trying to be polite, it hasn't hit the nail on the head. Second scenario. You've got some friends visiting, and they're really close friends. You haven't seen them in years. They're going to join you for Christmas Day. You think, brilliant, I'm going to get everything ready. So you set about preparations days in advance. You make sure you've bought in all of their favourite food, you know, all the things you know they really like. You get the rooms just sorted and right, and everything in place. And they arrive, and you want to make their stay extra special. So you rush about, you know, getting cups of tea, making sure that the carrots aren't burnt, heating up the gravy, make sure the meal is just right. And as they leave, you find yourself saying something to the effect of, it's a shame you didn't have time really to catch up properly. And then they leave, and you sort of collapse in exhaustion. And then finally, number three, at this time of year, your heart
goes out for people who are on the streets at Christmas, those who are homeless and vulnerable, they don't have a roof over their heads. And you think, what can I possibly do for those people? So you set about collecting up blankets, getting food that you can donate, and you get a collection and you take it along and you drop it off at a distribution centre. So three scenarios there. And the question is, what do they have in common? And I think it's one short word, which is for. Okay, for. And what I mean by that is for is what we do when we care about people. We want to do something for others. You know, the example, the relative, you want to buy that present for them. Or the house guest, you want to get anything just right for them. Or the people who are homeless, you want to, your heart goes out and you want to do something for them. And these gestures, they can be really, really important, really powerful. It's how we try and make the world a better place, really, isn't it? We all do things for others. We want to make people's lives better, those who we care about. We want to solve problems and issues that we see around us, and so we do things for people. People win awards, you know, for these kind of things. People who do incredible things on behalf of others. The most esteemed in our society, the ones who get the MBE, they do these generous and kind-hearted acts, noble and sacrificial acts at times. But they don't get to the heart of the problem, necessarily. So you think about a relationship with that relative. You know, the chasm that there is between you and the gift just hasn't managed to overcome it. Or the friends that come down even, all that time spent getting things ready and actually you haven't managed to have that conversation, to catch up properly, to spend time together. And then the homeless people, you know, at the end of the day, they're still out there alone on the streets and you know it's just a drop in the ocean. See, four is good, it's brilliant, but it isn't the way God celebrates Christmas. God doesn't actually set the world right at Christmas when you think about it. He doesn't either buy the stack of gifts and then kind of look, look disappointed when we open them and fail to be suitably grateful. You know, I think there may be a long list of things that we wish God would do for us at Christmas. You know, maybe there's things you can think of right now. And we might want Him just to surround us with perfection. You know, sometimes people say, well, if there is a God, then everything should be just right, shouldn't it? But God shows us something else. He shows us something much, much better. Matthew 1:23. The virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call him Emmanuel, God with us. Now, I don't think this is the way Joseph would have planned it. You know, turn everything in his life totally upside down. He suddenly finds out the woman who he's pledged to be married to, she is pregnant, and it certainly wasn't him who was involved in the act. And of course, his mind, you know, goes to the obvious assumption, and he thinks, well, I'll just divorce her quietly. And then the angel comes in at the last minute and says, actually, don't fear. You know, what's conceived, you know, is of the Holy Spirit. This is God. But it still must have been totally puzzling to him. You know, because as I said, this wasn't the way that Joseph had chosen to do it, but God chose to do it this way, and Joseph found himself in the middle of this situation. John 1:14, familiar words, say, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, with us. Emmanuel, God with us. See, at the heart of the Christmas message and at the heart of the Christian faith is this word with. In fact, from the beginning to the end of God's story, God is the God who wants to be with us. So in the cool of the day, God walks with Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden in the book of Genesis. And then even when, as the video says, everything went wrong, God pursued humanity. He wanted to have a people who he was in relationship with, a people who knew him, a people who loved him. And so he pursued his people, and you see that through the Old Testament, through the people of Israel. And then as we see at the beginning of Matthew's Gospel, we hear about Emmanuel, God with us, the fulfillment of promises from 700 years previously in the book of Isaiah.
And if you look to the end of Matthew's Gospel, when Jesus has risen from the dead and before he ascends to glory, he commissions his disciples. He charges them with spreading the good news right throughout the whole world, to make disciples of all nations, to baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, which is why many of us are here today, because of that amazing legacy. And Jesus says, and lo, I'm with you. I'm with you to the very end of the age. Nothing can separate you from the love of God. Nothing can separate you from me, because I'm with you. And then if we take it through to the end of time and the beginning of eternity, if we look to Revelation chapter 21, and there's this amazing moment, the new heavens come down to earth, heaven and earth come together, and the desire of God to be with us, and the desire of God's people to be with him, is fulfilled in the most glorious moment. And we see these words, there's this loud voice from the throne that says, see, the home of God is now with people. He will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. Death will be no more. Mourning and crying and pain will be no more, for the first things will pass away. Three times, the writer says, God will be with them. It's not because he's forgotten what he's written. You know, it's because he wants to emphasize that this was the heart of God all along. This was always the plan of God. Now, people may go their own way, but God wants to be with each and every one of us. And there's this moment when we will be, if we trust in Jesus, we'll be fully with him, gloriously with him. Yeah, everything that's ever held us back in life will fade away, and we will be fully in the presence of God. See, God's whole life, his whole action, his whole purpose is shaped to be with us. And he goes to extraordinary lengths. He holds nothing back in order to be with us. His pursuit of his people, his pursuit of each one of us sitting here. You know, Jesus, the eternal Son of God, became human. Born in very, very modest circumstances, to say the least. So that we could be with him, so he could be with us. Now, God placed his life into the hands of Joseph and Mary. He made himself totally vulnerable. You know, if you read the story and you know the pursuit of Herod, you know, a flee to Egypt, this is a vulnerable, fragile, and yet he was still fully God. And he took the ultimate risk. And ultimately it cost him dearly, but it was a cost he was willing to pay. You see, weird is so much harder than thought. We see that in Jesus. We see that at Christmas, don't we? You know, that time of year when we have to spend time with relatives. You know, and that can be difficult. You know, sometimes we laugh, sometimes we might cry about it. You know, it can be a difficult time of year. You can do four without so much as even a genuine kind of conversation, without real relationship, without having to shape your life to accommodate others. You know, if you think back, we can buy a present for someone. And it can seem like it's going to be a quick fix, even though it might not be. You know, with the example of those friends, it's easier just to do everything than to try and find a way of somehow sharing out the responsibilities and tasks and working through it together. It's easier to donate something than it is to change the whole shape of our lives in order to accommodate others, to open our homes, maybe to give up time to share a meal with those who are in need and those who are vulnerable. Weird asks for so much more of us. But it's so much better. Yeah, think of Joseph. To stay with Mary, in spite of everything that happened, in spite of anything that everybody would be saying. You know, his wife pregnant, you know, and they didn't have the visit of the angel. So they would jump to their own conclusions, and yet Joseph stuck it through. He stayed with her. In our relationship with God, you know, for many of us who are Christians, you know, that can be difficult. We can busy ourselves doing stuff for God, but it's actually much harder sometimes to spend time with God, because it calls for us to change. You know, the latter, being with God, is transformational. It will touch every area of our lives, including the areas of our lives we don't want to be touched and we don't want to change. It calls for nothing less than total renewal in our lives, new creation. And it's ongoing. It means dying to ourselves, you know, living for God. But if you think about it, every relationship is a bit like this as well. But a relationship with God is the ultimate. You know, sometimes people say, I'm not religious. You know, people will say that. And I'm not religious either. You know, religion involves rituals and activity and things that we do. And sometimes those things are very good. But actually, a relationship is so much harder. A relationship with God. And that's what he wants with each one of us. And although it's difficult for sinful people to spend time with God, it's also the most amazing privilege we could ever possibly have. And that's where I think the weird meets the form. You see, of course, God has done so much for us. He's done everything necessary for us to be with him. You know, don't confuse the means with the end, though. It's always to be with us. We read in the passage from Matthew chapter 1, it says, you are to call him Jesus. That name Jesus means God saves. The angel says, because he will save his people from their sins. You know, we all sin. We all need saving from the consequences of our sin. Because our sin separates us from God. And therefore it separates us from life, true life. You know, we're saved from separateness to witness. From being separated from God to being with God. And the cross shows us the depths of God's love for us. You know, John 13 says Jesus loved his disciples to the utmost, to the fullest extent. He held nothing back. He did everything necessary to remove sin and shame and death so that it could never hold on us, so that we could know God fully if we trust in him, if we put our faith in Jesus Christ. You know, it's not just about us receiving eternal life for some arbitrary gift that's parachuted in and lands on our lap, or that God sends with a card wrapped up in a box. You know, it's about us coming into the arms of the Father who wants to embrace us. You know, warts and all. And he wants to heal us, he wants to make us whole, he wants us to know him fully. This Advent, I want to encourage you to discover God with you. Maybe to rediscover God with you. With you in everything. You know, he became human in order to show that he wants to be with you in everything. So you can know him. And he doesn't promise that everything will be easy. But he does promise to be with you in everything. That is his promise. And Christmas is an invitation to be with God. The journey with him. To enjoy a relationship with him. And also to slow down and to be with others in the midst of all of the frenzy of life. You know, the greatest present you can give to someone is to be present with them. You know, and God shows us this. So let's learn from Emmanuel, God with us. Let's be with God this Christmas. Let's trust in him. Let's discover the wonder and the joy and the true meaning and immeasurable depths of Christmas. This amazing good news of God with us. We're gonna pray now. And I just want to encourage you. First and foremost, I want to pray for us that we can be with God and that we can know him. But actually also with this week and everything that's happening in our nation, I think it's right we also pray for our country, and that God will be with us through it all, through everything that's happening on Tuesday, Parliament, etc. And then also for our world, because Britain is just one small country in the world, and there's so many other needs and things going on in our world. And we want to pray that God will be with his people throughout the world. So let's just pause for a moment first. And you might just want to invite God to be with you in this moment. read these words before praying, which were written for this Sunday in Advent. Another flame announces its message of hope amidst a world where thousands of voices demand to be heard, claiming that theirs is the way, that they have the solution, that their truth is the right truth. But this faithful flame invites us to listen for another voice, one that may not choose to demand a hearing in every public square, to tune our ears to the voice of our Creator, to listen out for God's melodies of hope, despite the screams of despair that seek to drown their every note. God can speak, and God is speaking. Speaking in the midst of a nation's anguish and struggle. Speaking when hopes are dashed and spirits crushed. Speaking where fear abounds, fueled by uncertainty. Speaking within and through every circumstance. That in such ways and places, our God has always spoken. And when our arguments are exhausted, our debates have run their course, our media outlets have nothing left to say, God's word will stand. God's truth will remain. Father, we thank you for the amazing gift to the world, to each one of us, in Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us. Thank you for your amazing love for us that is inexhaustible and that reaches out to every person, that no one is beyond your hope and your love and the bounds of your grace. And Lord, we ask that we would know Emmanuel, God with us in our lives. We pray that we would know God with us in our families, in the situations and the challenges that we face, and in the joys this Christmas too. May we be so aware of you with us. And we pray for our nation this week. We pray for our MP, Hugh Merriman. We pray for those in Parliament as they discuss Brexit. We pray that your will be done. Lord, we pray that your kingdom would come in this nation. And Lord, we pray that you will give each one of us peace in our hearts to know and to trust in you, the unchanging one, the one who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And I pray that as we trust in you, we could be a source of hope to others who may be in the midst of anguish and despair this Christmas. And we pray for our world, Lord. We pray for people who are facing far greater challenges than we face in this nation. We pray for France, Lord God, and for the situation there. We pray for your peace. We pray where there are wars and turmoil, Lord God, that you would bring about your peace, Lord, through your people. And Lord, we just ask that you would bless your church throughout this world, this Christmas time, that we can be a light shining in the darkness that cannot be extinguished, but, Lord, can bring light to many others. In Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to take up our offering at some point in the next one. Yes. So the offering this year, I'm going to say, is on behalf of Nazareth Evangelical College. So our offerings will be going towards this college that's training people for ministry in the Holy Land and for context beyond as well. And it will be going towards, some of it towards their Arabic library project, where they're seeking to build a library, a Christian theological library, in the native languages of those who are studying. So we ask that if you're able to give, then please do, but don't feel any compulsion. This is mainly for the members of the church. If you're a guest, then feel free to let the offering pass you by. But we'll be taking up that, and we'll also be taking up more offerings in the run-up to Christmas to bring towards that cause as well.